This is 100, exhibit 100.
Mr. Guest, do you recognize what's been identified as exhibit 100?
Yes.
And what is this?
This is a compilation of data related to the value of assessed value of real property in the city of Seattle.
And where did you get that information?
I got it from the King County Assessor's website at kingcounty.gov/assessor.
And did you make any alterations to the data?
No.
I would like to offer Exhibit 100 into evidence.
No objection.
Exhibit 100 is admitted, and just to clarify, this is supporting data for Exhibit 99, is that correct?
That's correct. So if we could look back at Exhibit 99, Mr. Guess, you previously described what is at the top of the page. Could you just repeat that again for me?
Sure. It's a tabular representation of the assessed value of real property in the city of Seattle from 2008 to 2018.
And did you also create the graph at the bottom of the page?
I did.
And how did you create that?
The graph, which is the compound annual growth of real property values in the city over time, I created it using an online compound growth calculator that's available at the public website of the United States Securities and Exchange Commission at investor.gov.
And what does that chart or graph show?
It shows that between 2008 and 2012, property values in the city of Seattle, assessed property values in the city of Seattle, rose 5.82%, and that between 2013 and 2018, they rose at an annual rate of 12.71%.
Mr. Guest, would you please turn to tab 45, which we would ask to be marked as an exhibit?
Exhibit 101?
Sorry, what was the tab?
45. And do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is the document?
It is page 19 of a report titled 2018 Economic and Revenue Forecast, dated March 12, 2018, and prepared by the chief economist for King County.
And how did you obtain this document?
I printed it from the public website of King County, kingcounty.gov.
Did you make any alterations to the document?
No.
I would offer 101 into evidence.
No objection.
101 is admitted.
Mr. Guest, what does Exhibit 101 describe?
It describes both the historic and predicted assessed property values for King County, including the decade from 2018 to 2027.
And have you determined the rise in value for that period?
Yes, properties in the county are projected to rise by an average compound annual rate of a little over 6%, 6.03 to be exact, from 2018 to 2027.
And how did you calculate that?
Again, I used the online compound growth calculator available at the U.S. Stock Exchange website, investor.gov.
And just to refresh our memory, you previously we previously looked at a portion of the EIS indicating that 434 acres would need to be obtained to bring the level of service to the appropriate level.
Yes, to meet the citywide LOS.
Thank you. And does Chapter 3.7 of the EIS discuss or analyze current or future real estate costs associated with acquiring 434 acres of parks and open space under any of the alternatives?
No, it doesn't.
With respect to the citywide level of service, does the MHA environmental impact statement contemplate changing the current citywide level of service number?
Yes, it does.
Would you please turn back to Exhibit 94, which is tab 38? Oh. That's not the correct tab. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean tab 41. Which, yes, that, so that was not...
Not marked yet.
Right, it's already just part of the EIS. Correct. So, tab 41. Does this section 3.7.4 discuss changing the citywide level of service?
Yes.
And what does it say?
It says, in future planning processes, Seattle Parks and Recreation could modify the citywide level of service standard to consider the quality of facilities and availability of SPR programs and services in addition to or instead of a standard based solely on parks acreage per population. And where I read with emphasis is an edit to the draft EIS.
And within section or chapter 3.7, is there any discussion or analysis of how this potential change would impact the city's obligation to create 434 acres of parks and open space?
No.
Okay, just a few more questions on this topic of parks and open space. Would you please turn to tab...
You know, he emphasized instead of on the transcript that won't show up, so you might ask him which words did you emphasize.
Oh, good point. All right, Mr. Guest, when you read that sentence in 3.7.4, you indicated that you placed emphasis on certain words in a written transcript that won't show up. So could you just identify which words you were talking about emphasizing?
Sure. It's the phrase, or instead of.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Brown. Okay, would you please turn to tab 50? We'd request that to be marked as an exhibit.
Be 102.
Mr. Guest, do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
It is a chart from page 38 of the City of Seattle's current Urban Forest Stewardship Plan.
And where did this document come from?
I printed it from the city's website at seattle.gov/trees.
I offer Exhibit 102 into evidence.
No objection.
102 is admitted.
And turning to the text on 102, what does it tell us?
Well, what's really interesting is the bar chart or the graph that's shown here. It illustrates two things. That single-family homes comprise the majority of acreage in Seattle, and that acreage is five times greater than developed parks and natural areas combined.
Would you please turn to tab 51, which we would ask to be marked as an exhibit? Oh.
So we 103.
And do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
It is a chart from page 39 of the Urban Forest Stewardship Plan.
And was this obtained from the same source as the prior page?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Exhibit 103 into evidence.
No objection.
103 is admitted.
Okay, what does Exhibit 103 illustrate?
It illustrates that the trees on single-family or SFR lots are far healthier than those in parks and natural areas. And specifically, it shows three statistical things. First, that approximately 55% of the trees on SFR lots are in excellent condition compared with 20% of the trees on developed parks and natural areas. Second, about 2% of the trees on SFR lots are in critical condition or dying, compared with more than 20% in parks and roughly 10% in natural areas. And third, that about 1% of the trees on SFR lots are dead, as opposed to roughly 2% in public parks and almost 10% in natural areas.
Thank you. So let's move to Chapter 3.6 of the EIS, biological resources. Have you read the entirety of Chapter 3.6 of the MHA EIS?
Yes.
Okay. Would you please turn to tab 53, which we would ask to be marked?
Exhibit 104.
Mr. Guess, do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
It is the City of Seattle Executive Order 2017-11, titled Tree Protection.
And where did this document come from?
I printed it from the City of Seattle website, seattle.gov, from the section of the Department of Construction of Inspections regarding tree protection.
I offer Exhibit 104 into evidence.
Your Honor, I have no objection, but I do recall that
it's already an exhibit,
this
right?
was an exhibit entered yesterday.
Do you know the exhibit number?
I could probably find that pretty quickly.
Let's do that. So we're going to have
78.
Okay. So we're going to just treat that as 78, and we will not label it as 104.
Well, actually, I have a question for Mr. Guest. Mr. Guest, did you put those boxes around the text on the first page, the whereas?
I did.
Okay.
So I think it does have to be 104.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Beginning with 104. 104 is admitted.
Okay. If you could please look at the fourth whereas statement, and I think it's the first one in the box. What does it state?
It states that the city has set a goal of 30% canopy coverage across the city by 2037.
And what does the fifth whereas statement say below it?
It says, according to the 2016 tree canopy assessment, the city currently has canopy coverage of 28%.
So canopy coverage of 28% identified there. Is that coverage uniform across the city?
No. In the sixth whereas statement, and I'm quoting, whereas canopy coverage exceeds current targets set in the Urban Forest Stewardship Plan in developed parks, natural areas, multifamily, and institutional areas, but is at or below target in single-family, downtown, industrial, and commercial areas.
Are there any other areas stated in this order stated to be at or below the targets?
Yes. There is such a description in the seventh whereas statement. And those are census tracts where the population tends to be residents of color and with lower than average income.
I'd like you to turn to tab 54. And before we I don't know if this has been an exhibit before, but did you put the square around the results section?
I did.
Okay. So we would ask that this be identified as an exhibit.
Exhibit 105.
Sorry. Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
It is page 10 of the 2016 Seattle Tree Canopy Assessment, titled, What is the Relationship Between Tree Canopy and Environmental Equity?
Where did this document come from?
I printed it from the City of Seattle's website at seattle.gov/trees.
I offer Exhibit 105 into evidence.
No objection.
105 is admitted.
And what does Exhibit 105 contain?
It basically details the methodologies and results of the city's effort to map tree canopy in relation to race and economic status.
And is there a relationship according to this document?
There is, and let me quote from the results section, there is a statistically significant inverse relationship between tree canopy and both people of color and people within 200% of the poverty level. The analysis found that census tracts with lower amounts of tree canopy more of the population tends to be people of color and have lower incomes.
Does the study here speak in terms of actual numerical variance in tree canopy percentages?
It does, and quoting again, in census tracts with high numbers of people of color, tree canopy is as low as 11%, while in areas with not many people of color, there is 55% canopy cover.
So are those results that you just quoted from the results section consistent in all cases across the city?
No, and quoting one last time, and thank you for everyone bearing with me, it is important to note that although there is a general inverse relationship, there are numerous exceptions. Some locations within Seattle that have the highest concentrations of people of color and residents under 200% of the poverty level have a relatively high percentage of tree canopy due to the presence of parks and street trees.
Have you seen anything indicating whether the city tends to take any steps to address the gaps in canopy coverage relating to race and economic status?
Yes. If we return to the previous exhibit.
104.
Thank you. Section 3 contemplates an in lieu of fee for reforestation.
So we're looking at Section 3 of the executive order, which is Exhibit 104.
Yes.
So to review, you've testified from these documents that the city has canopy coverage goals, and it recognizes that there are gaps in meeting those goals, such as those in single-family neighborhoods. Is that what we saw in this 104?
Yes.
And the same executive order recognizes canopy coverage gaps in areas with specific racial and economic attributes, has measured the gaps, and intends to take action based on those measurements.
That's correct.
Right?
It's okay. Measured, and it intends to take action.
Okay. Do you recall when we were looking at Chapter 3.7 regarding open space, that the environmental impact statement had a list of the urban villages and their allocations of parks and open space?
Yes.
Does Chapter 3.6 of the EIS with respect to biological diversity, does it identify the tree canopy allocation by urban village?
No, it doesn't.
Does Chapter 3.6 have a list of underserved urban villages with respect to tree canopy, either by race, class, or any other metric?
No, it doesn't.
Does Chapter 3.6 identify an acceptable level of service for tree canopy?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Just a moment, Ms. Tobin-Bresser, do you want to check in with you on timing? How much do you...
Let's see, we just probably 20 minutes.
20 minutes for yeah. Your direct still?
Yes.
Okay. Let's just give it a shot and see how we do.
Okay.
We normally break for lunch sometime around now.
Okay, so if you would turn to tab 55, please, which... we'd ask be identified as an exhibit. Mr. Guess, what is this document?
It is page 3.328 of the EIS in a section titled Tree Canopy. It relates specifically to alternative 2.
I offer Exhibit 106 into evidence.
No objection.
106 is admitted.
Can you read the second sentence of the last paragraph that you have boxed?
Sure. The city does not have a threshold for determining significance of tree loss.
And let me just, for the record, I made an assumption here. Did you... make the box around the text there.
I did.
Thank you. So the statement was the city does not have a threshold for determining significance of tree loss.
That's
right?
Correct.
Okay. And is that the only place that Chapter 3.6 makes the statement?
No, it does not. It is not, rather.
Please turn to Exhibit 56, which will not need to be marked. Mr. Guest, what is this tab 56?
It is page 3.334 of the EIS, tree canopy as it relates to Alternative 3.
And then would you please turn to tab 57, which also does not need to be marked? What
is there, sorry, was there something on that page?
I was just going to flip back and forth. What is tab 57?
It is page 3.338 of the EIS with the tree canopy section related to the preferred alternative.
Okay, and so if you could just repeat again, so 3.334 and 3.338 pages, what do they relate to?
They are the tree canopy sections for alternative 3 and the preferred alternative, respectively.
And do each of those pages contain the statement that you just read, that the city does not have a threshold for determining significance of tree loss?
Yes.
Okay. If you would please go back to Exhibit 106, which is tab 55.
Can we stick with tab 56 first and then go back to 57? Can you show me where that sentence is so I can highlight it?
So it's the second to the last sentence of the page. The city does not have a threshold for determining significance of tree loss.
Tab 57.
Second, third paragraph, final paragraph.
Second sentence.
Final paragraph, second sentence.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So if you could please turn back to tab 55, which is Exhibit 106. Mm-hmm. If you could read the last sentence.
Assuming that all tree protection regulations are implemented with future development under the new zoning, the change in tree canopy cover under Alternative 2 is not considered a significant impact.
Is this the only place that the chapter uses this language?
No.
Let's turn back to Exhibit 56, which I believe was Alternative 3.
Tab 56?
Yes, I'm sorry, tab 56. Do you see that same sentence at the end of the page?
I do.
Assuming that all tree protection regulations are implemented with future development under the new zoning, the change in tree canopy cover under Alternative 3 is not considered a significant impact. And then please turn to tab 57. Is that the same statement made with respect to the preferred alternative, the very last sentence of the page?
Yes, it is.
Is there anything in Chapter 3.6 that would tell us what would constitute significant versus insignificant impact with respect to tree canopy loss?
No, there's not.
Then on what basis would 3.6 conclude that the change in tree canopy cover is not a significant impact?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I want to look at the canopy in the West Seattle Urban Village. Would you please turn to tab 61, which would need to be marked as an exhibit.
Sorry, tab 51?
61.
61. That's 107.
This is quite small. I brought enlarged copies of the same thing, if anyone would like one. Would you like one?
I can read it.
Okay.
This is 57, you said?
It's tab 61.
61.
Exhibit 107. Mr. Guest, what is this?
It's a document created using data from a number of public governmental websites and then applied mathematical calculations long story short, it shows the percentage of tree canopy there would be in the Junction Urban Village under EIS preferred, under the EIS preferred alternative prior to upzoning.
Okay, let's go through each of these. Well, who created this document?
I did.
Okay, let's go through each column, and you can tell us what the data is and where you obtained it. The first column that says PIN, what is the data in that?
It's a parcel identification number.
And where did that come from?
The public King County data portal at www.kingcounty.gov/GIS portal.
Was the data altered in any way?
No.
On the third column over, where it says zone ID?
Yes, that's my second column here.
I think that this is different than what we're looking
all
at.
All right.
So we're going to have to sadly skip around, but we will cover all of the columns. So if we look at zone ID, which is the third one over, what is that data?
It is a parcel zone identifier used by the city.
And where did it come from?
The Public City of Seattle Open Data Portal at data.seattle.gov.
Did you alter the data in any way?
No.
Okay. On the zoning column, what is the data that's shown there?
It is another parcel zone identifier used by the city.
And where did it come from?
It also came from the city's Open Data Portal. Would you like me to repeat the Open Data Portal address each time?
No.
All right.
And was it the data altered anyway?
No.
Okay. And now going back to the second column that says HALA, what is that data?
It is the proposed zoning for a given parcel in the West Seattle Junction Urban Village under MHA.
And where did the data come from?
It came from the city's website in the HALA section.
And did you alter that data in any way?
No.
Okay, I see the next column over from zoning says zone LUT.
Yes, this is another parcel zone identifier used by the city.
And where did it, how about each time you just say what it is, where it came from, and
sure.
Whether you altered it?
It's another parcel zone identifier used by the city. It came from the city's open data portal, and I did not alter it.
What about zone LUTDE?
It is a description of the field zone LUT. It comes from the city's open data portal, and I did not alter it.
And what about class DESC?
It describes the field zone LUT_DE in greater detail. It comes from the city's open data portal, and I did not alter it.
And then what about new area?
It is a parcel's square footage. It comes from the data portal at King County, and I did not alter it.
Okay. Now, what about new PERI?
This is a parcel's perimeter. It was created by Juno as a way to double-check our work as it progressed. It's an artifact that was included accidentally.
So we can disregard this or cross it out?
Yes.
Okay. When we look at...
Do you want me to make that mark on the exhibit?
Only if it's going to affect admissibility or draw an objection for it to be there. So what about the column that says tree area?
It is a parcel's canopy in square footage. And it's this data is a combination of data from both the City of Seattle's open data portal and the county's open data portal. And I did not alter the data.
Okay. What about the column that says parcel acre?
It's the area of a given parcel in acres.
And where did that come from?
I calculated that number.
How did you do that?
I divided the parcel square footage, the column area, new area, by 43,560, which is the number of square feet in an acre.
And the column that says tree acre?
Yes. That is the area of a parcel's canopy expressed in acres. I calculated it, and I used the same math to calculate it as I use with parcel acre.
And then finally, the percent column.
It's the percentage of a parcel covered by canopy. I calculated the number by dividing the parcel's tree acreage, that's the column tree area, by the parcel area in acres, which is the column parcel area.
I would offer Exhibit 107 into evidence.
No objection.
Okay.
107 is admitted.
Thank you. Mr. Guess, with the information in Exhibit 107, can you calculate the level of tree canopy that exists in the junction prior to any upzoning?
Yes.
How would you do that?
You add the parcel acre column amounts together, which I have done, and it comes to 261.54 total parcel acres in the preferred alternative upzone area.
And then what?
You add the tree column acres.
I understand the data columns, but is the conclusion you just came to in here or in another exhibit or where?
The total acreage.
The total acreage is in another exhibit.
Okay, after you have added the parcel acre columns together and totaled up to 261.54 total parcel acres in the preferred alternative, then what did you do?
You add the tree acre column amounts together, and you get 42.52. And then you simply divide the total tree acres by the total parcel acres, which gives a percentage of 16.26 canopy coverage, 15.26% canopy coverage in the West Seattle Junction Urban Village prior to any upzoning activity under the preferred alternative.
Okay, could you please remind us what the citywide tree canopy is?
Sure, today it's 28%.
And the city's stated goal?
Is 30%.
Okay, and again, there's nowhere else in the EIS that would show the West Seattle Junction specifically their existing tree canopy coverage, is that correct?
No.
Okay. Are the results of your analysis consistent with the observation of the executive order we looked at back in Exhibit 104, which was tab 53, that canopy coverage is below target in single-family neighborhoods?
Yes, it's consistent with that observation.
Does your analysis indicate how many single-family residential parcels in the West Seattle Junction Urban Village are scheduled to be upzoned?
Yes. Per the earlier exhibit, we counted between 410 and 484 single-family parcels to be upzoned, depending on the alternative.
I'm trying to remember if I have an exhibit hanging out there. No. Okay. So if you would please turn to tab 62, which does not need to be marked.
All right.
And I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. What is exhibit? What does tab 62 show us?
Tab 62 is Exhibit 3.6-5, Tree Canopy Analysis Summary, Alternative 2. And what are shown here are the change coefficients used by the city to calculate canopy loss.
And what does that mean?
It basically means that this is how the tree canopy will change on a given parcel under specific rezoning situations under the three action alternative. So, for example, if you look at this exhibit, down where it says SF to LR, it is the third from the bottom. If you read over two columns, you'll see minus 2.02%. All that means is that if you rezone and build a low rise on a single family lot, you will lose up to 2.02% of the canopy there.
So I see that under high scenario, and then I see something that says low scenario.
Yes. Low scenario is simply 50% of the high scenario, according to the EIS.
So that's sort of a best and worst case scenario.
It's a range, yes.
Are there different high scenario coefficients for each of the other action alternatives?
Yes, each has its own set of coefficients.
Okay, please turn to tab 63, which does not need to be marked. Is this the same thing we looked at for a different alternative?
Yes, these are the coefficients for alternative three.
And if you could turn to, and that's Exhibit 3.6-11 of the EIS?
Yes.
And if you could turn to tab 64, please.
Okay.
Is that part of the EIS?
It is. It's Exhibit 3.6-15. And again, these are the coefficients with regard to the preferred alternative.
Thank you. Is there any information in the environmental impact statement as to where the high scenario coefficient came from?
There is one sentence in the assessment methodology section.
Would you please turn to tab 65, which doesn't need to be marked? And what is this document?
So this is page 3.379 from the EIS, and it discusses methodologies with respect to tree canopy, and the second full paragraph discusses the calculation of the high scenario coefficient.
What page number did you say?
3.379, if I'm reading correctly.
I think it's 3.319.
I apologize if I've gotten that incorrect.
I'm looking
through an overprint.
Okay.
Yes, it's 3.319.
And what does it say about the high scenario coefficient?
It says the high scenario, and I'm reading the first sentence of the second full paragraph.
Let's wait for a moment until the hearing examiner. It's not your fault, it's mine. Until the hearing examiner gets there. Okay, so what does this page say about the high scenario coefficient?
It says that it was calculated as the difference in percent between the proposed zone tree cover and the existing zone tree cover.
So is that circular?
Well, it's not circular. I don't want to run the risk of editorializing, but it's impossible for me to reproduce the city's numbers with respect to a proposed zone tree cover. I can duplicate the existing zone tree cover as it is today, but I didn't find any information in this section or outside this section that would illustrate how the city got to its proposed zone tree cover calculation.
Are you able to understand with any degree of certainty, I guess you just answered this, how the particular coefficient was arrived at?
No, I'm not.
I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
I have no questions.
Cross, please. Mr. Guess, what's your schedule?
If you need lunch, let's take lunch.
Okay.
I thought that's probably pretty quick, Your Honor.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and try to finish the witness.
Sure.
Less time gastric needs than efficiency.
So I'm looking at the environmental impact statement, which is marked as Exhibit 2. And in the open space and recreation impact analysis, which is Chapter 3.7, and I should just say, my name is Daniel Mitchell. I'm an assistant city attorney, Mr. Guest, and I'll be asking you some follow-up questions.
Very good. I'm sorry, but I don't have what you're looking at in front of me.
What did you?
I will be actually just asking about your Juno's tab number 38.
Oh, very good. Which is page?
3.357. And section And on that page, section 3.7.4 talks about significant unavoidable adverse impacts.
All right.
And in the first sentence, do you agree with the first sentence? Or I should say that the first sentence reads that when you read the first sentence of 3.7.4,
yes,
were you informed that all the EIS alternatives, including the no action and all the action alternatives, would result in significant adverse impacts to the availability and accessibility of parks and open space?
Yes, I was informed by the text.
And then exhibit three, or I should say exhibit two in the EIS, is the EIS, page 3.350, which is exhibit 3.7-5, and it is one of your tabs. But if you want to follow along in the EIS, it's in this binder.
Oh, I looked for 3.7.4 there, but I didn't. Slipped out completely. Hold on one second. Let's do this.
On your tab 43 if you just want
to. All right.
Bless you. Yes.
Okay. Here's 3.7.
Great.
If you, for the future, if you wanted to look at that.
Right.
So we're on page 3.350 of Exhibit 2, which is labeled Exhibit 3.7-5. It's comparison of parks and open space availability. And when you read this exhibit, were you informed that West Seattle Junction, were you informed as to the impacts to West Seattle Junction of for parks and open space availability based on the level of service, the city's level of service standard?
Yes.
And were you informed of that for each of the action alternatives?
Yes.
Your Honor, I don't...
If you think it's
Mr. Guest, are you being called as an expert on open space or tree canopy?
No.
I have no further questions.
Redirect.
I have nothing further.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Guest.
Thank you.
We'll return at 1:45.